Hey, you got the morning show with Aaron. That was Karanga by Taisha Tari, and I want to welcome Ngaronoa into the studio. Good morning.
Ai, ata mari e te whānau whānui o Whaingaroa. Kanui te mihi atu ki a koutou i tēnei wā tonu, te wā o Ngāhuru, tata ki a Takurua, ka huri Takureo. So we are on the borders, you know, those invisible borders, but not so invisible because this morning Hine Pūkohurangi was very present, which is the that dew that tells us we're moving into the colder months of the year. Mm. That was very present this morning here in Whaingaroa. So those are, you know, those rhythms of nature that tell us that we're moving into another time of temperatures and also in just another season. Not just another season, but how nature moves us and gives us indicators of this transition into from Ngāhuru, which is autumn, into Takurua, which is winter, the winter months. And gives us those cues and clues to navigate going forward. So we go, oh, my gloves, where are they? Mm. I go and look for them. Oh, my pōtai. Oh, my shawl, where is it? Because we need it for a few weeks from now on. So get your gloves out, get your pōtai out.
Get your shoes on. Folks,
yeah, shoes.
I know some of you like to be wear bare feet. Actually, my kids used to go all winter.
I know, they're so brave. The younger generation have got this incredible resilience of barefootness. I know the adults do too, but it's incredible. These months when you would say you should be wearing your shoes, they're barefoot and loving it.
Well, there's no should, is there, really? If you want to go barefoot, why not?
Ooh.
unless you're on the run for extreme behind the trucks.
Well,
you probably have to wear safety boots. But
and it's so good for you too, you know. It's we don't do it enough, really. We're always putting on shoes and not feeling the earth under our feet, or getting that rhythm, that massage from the tiny rocks, you know, the round ones, not the sharp ones.
Yeah, not the gravel ones.
Yeah.
Can I ask you, before we get into the two topics you wanted to talk about, that track, Karanga, was by Taisha Tari, and you work with her every year.
Yes, I do. I have the great privilege of working with Taisha, and I write poetic, mystic poetry, which is then transformed by an incredible composer into music, for Taisha to present as part of a Matariki event in which Tane Mete is the choreographer dancer at the Auckland Art Gallery.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. It's an iconic kaupapa for me to engage and to be able to offer my mystic poetry based on what is given to me to look at regarding that each year. And so how Tane coaches me is each year there is one particular star that is focused on, which is part of Matariki.
Yes.
And then we dive deep into it. But I won't, it's very exciting.
You're not going to give it away. Is that what you're going to say?
No, I actually have to put my blinkers on and actually go deep into probably what I call the original classical Māori, because a lot of the let's go there.
Yes,
Te Reo Māori has there's a classical Māori, and then there's the bread and butter Māori, which is Te Reo, which is what we offer here, a smorgasbord of modern Māori, which is all good. It's happened because of colonisation, in the sense that we don't have access to all the ancient kupu unless you dive deep into text which have more tiatia, which are the ancient chants, and then you pull them out and you discover the depth of the reo and how Māori actually think. Yeah, the way we actually think and how we regarded our relationships with the world.
So classical Māori would be the pre-European language?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And
and there's still people who know
oh,
that.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Well, let's put it this way, the fragments. We have the fragments of an ancient language which comes forward, and I'm very fortunate. Yes, my father was very persistent, and my mother too, in that regard. So they were always pulling a kupu apart, a word, and deciphering it and expressing it to me to say, you know, an example of that, which is probably most of us may know, is waiora. And waiora has so much depth to it. It's wai, water, and ora, well-being, if you look at it in that way, but it has so much depth to it because it can express so many stories about the gifting of water to us as human beings. And as we know, water has been an extremely topical kaupapa that we continue to discuss the way that we use and misuse water. And we also forget to drink, you know, we forget a simple thing like drinking it, the drinking of water, and why it is so important to our waiora, we call it our well-being. We've almost forgotten, almost. There's a few of us not myself, I'm not going to include myself in there, who are returning to that drinking of that amazing water that's still available to us.
In our taps, or are you talking about other places than our taps?
I think in Whangaroa we can say that the water comes from the mountain.
It does.
So
it's had a few things added to it before it gets out of our taps, right?
I know. But it still comes from the mountain.
It does, yeah.
So we need to consider that. There are many places in Aotearoa where that is not so. Mm. Their water does not come from a sacred mountain.
Yeah.
And, we know the outcome of those changes as we take it through our water treatment plant.
Yeah.
And add all sorts of ingredients that we're
tasty ingredients. Are
supposed to be good for us. Fluoride? Or
that we haven't, that not yet. Not yet here.
Not yet here.
Not yet here. Yeah.
Did you get that? Not yet here.
Yeah.
So that means qualifiers. What does that mean?
Well, the government's changing the rules, but the council have said unless the government tells them directly to put it in, they're not going to do anything.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So they're in no hurry to bring us fluoride at the council, but if they're forced to by the government, then obviously they will.
Forced to. There you go. You heard it.
Legislation.
You heard it.
Smack
about
on the hand. Do it.
About how our government is operating. Let's not go there.
Yeah, no, let's not go there. Let's go back to what we intended to. You wanted to talk about, one thing you want to talk about today is kohi kohi. This is a medicinal plant.
It's a medicinal plant. It's a tree. Its name is kohi kohi. It's how Kai Kohe got its name. Kai Kohe in the far north.
Ah.
Or is it far north or just...
It's
just
pretty far north.
And people go, where's that? Kai Kohe has a beautiful hot pools too.
It's north of Whangarei.
It's north of Whangarei. You turn left.
south of 90 Mile Beach, in the middle there.
And it's kai kohe. So kohe kohe is a beautiful medicinal plant that's flowering at the moment. And as I've said many times, our native plants are not showy. They're not like the hibiscus where you see this amazingly large puti puti flower, and you go, wow, look at the hibiscus. They're very, you have to go to the, I don't know, what do you say?
You have to get up close to see the
quite
flower.
Quite subtle, yeah, they're, yeah. But they're there. And they have an incredible scent. Incredible scent. But if you have the opportunity and you inquire, please try and find a kohekohe, a rākau kohekohe, and witness its beauty. It's about 4 weeks early flowering, so that gives me some idea as a medicine woman of the extraordinary weather patterns that we're experiencing. Like it's early. Early flowering.
So they would normally flower in autumn?
Going into winter.
Yeah.
Yeah, more of winter.
End of autumn, start of winter
sort of thing. Flowering right now. So it's known as a native cedar in English, but don't forget all native plants had Māori names first. It was when the colony came, they decided to rewrite the whakapapa according to the Western paradigm.
The classification system.
Classification system was in place in Europe, yeah, according to their knowledge, but we already had in our, because we've got pretty extensive whakapapa around the plant world, which many may not know that or realise that, but it's an extraordinary body of mātauranga available to us to understand the way that Te Wao Nui a Tāne, which is the forest, the ngahere in particular, the native forest, works and operates. Yeah, is that a good way of putting it?
So is there even a classification system in Mātauranga Māori?
Absolutely. It's very thorough.
It's quite different, like different priorities in the classification? Or?
Yeah, so they actually, the alignment is to the, so plants are masculine and feminine, male and female. In Western science, they call it female and male, the male flower, the female flower. We have exactly the same. However, the emphasis in Te Ao Māori is on the female line. So the names of the plants are according to the mother. The mother line is emphasised. So yes, it's a beautiful. So some of the benefits of the kohekohe, if you have the opportunity to receive it into your, because you need it in your home with your whānau, it's for hormonal balance and particularly good for menopausal symptoms, including heavy bleeding and flushing. It's also very supportive of the urinary and bowel problems, including, it says here, I'm just noting what I've got here, the diarrhea. So that urinary tract system is, as you know, one of those important parts of our physiology that we can pay attention to and receive the healing through this rungua called kohekohe. It can help reduce milk flow in nursing mothers that have lost their babies. So if with our midwives and those who sit in that space, if that occurs within that space, then the kohekohe can help with the diminishing of the milk supply, because, you know, the milk supply for pēpi kicks in, and it, if there's a loss and you just need that support, then kohekohe is the one to use. It's also good for coughs, colds, as a gargle. Gargle means that you use it, well, you gargle.
I think we'll assume people know what that is.
Well, we're going to assume.
Yeah.
It means that you don't swallow it.
Yes, please. Don't do that.
And it's good for bleeding piles and in the treatment of gonorrhea.
The whole end of the body, really, it would seem.
Yeah, which is an extraordinarily important part that creates a lot of drama for us, really.
Mm, yeah.
And it,
it can do.
I mean, I'm not, I shouldn't be laughing, but it creates an awful lot of drama, and we would like some help here with those. And kohe kohe is one of those. I would like to recommend that you look at the opportunity that is presented in our community hapuri, and that comes through one of our people, Mike Edmonds. He's the kaiwhakahaere of offerings of hauora in two, three of our marae in this rohe. Yeah, and there you will also have the opportunity to, what I understand, I'm just going to say how I haven't been yet, but rongoā Māori and mirimiri and many other offerings from the health area that are more commonly known to us, immunisation, which is not...
Yeah, I've had people come in and bring me some little posters about health events happening at various marae.
Yeah, so Uanuku Kite Whenua, which is out in Waingaro, that is one of them. So they are, they're actually on a calendar month, and Mike Edmonds is definitely the person who cares for or is a kaitiaki, kaiwhakahaere for those opportunities in our community, hapuri.
Yeah, and so the... you mentioned Kaikoi. Is that the part of the country, that town, is it around that area that plant grows most of all? Does it grow down here?
Yeah. Kaikoi is it grows here in Whaingaroa, in that areas that are still forested with native forests.
Yeah.
It's really hard for me to get my head around the fact that most of the land in Aotearoa is farmland. Is still farmland, and we're reforesting it, you know, but after we've taken most of it away, and now we're heavily into reforesting and growing natives again. And I just think our native forests are still really under threat. We need to look after them. We need to care for them.
You come and join us
more
down.
Than. Which we're not.
Mm.
I was up in the Upper Wainui track, and whoever was up there with a pair of secateurs, probably, I'm going to assume it was a council worker, and they were harvesting or clearing the track, I guess, the walking track.
There's been a lot of weeds that they're trying to get rid of.
Oh, these weren't weeds.
These weren't weeds, okay.
These were native plants, and they were just chopping the sides of them and leaving them on the side. So they're a living entity. They're a part of who we are. I just cleared the track myself. I said, oh, this is terrible. You know, what is it for? Convenient for us. It's the convenience. It has nothing to do with the plant. The plant, they weren't non-natives. They were natives.
Mm.
Yeah.
Okay. I've got another interview this morning, but we still want to. We'll take the time though, because you want to talk about Matariki. And
I
Puanga.
Do. We are manifesting within our community many celebrations or ways of going forward as we embrace Puanga Matariki. Puanga is a very important entry point for that kaupapa. Puanga does the karanga, if you like, for Matariki. So Puanga leads the way for Matariki to come in. There'll be different expressions of that in the astronomical world, in astronomy, but it's definitely a very high-class constellation. What I mean by that, it's known. It's known all over the world.
And is it?
This constellation, right. Because it's so special.
And it comes before Matariki, so how much earlier is it on the way shortly?
Oh, they kind of follow each other in the sense that there's Puanga and then you can see Matariki on the same horizon and the northeastern horizon if you're up really early.
And not today.
today.
Today's a bad day for that.
And so our these celebrations of manifesting, and from them we can receive the more understanding about the importance of these constellations on a deeper level or on a celebratory level to look at reflection. Pumahara, which is to sit closer to the fire because it's really cold time of the year. Makariri, he wā makariri, and we can contemplate rather than just let it zoom past and work frantically like we did in the summer. It's actually an opportunity for us to sit and be more still and to celebrate what the harvest and then prepare for the next planting season and many other things. So those things will come forward as I lead. I'll lead as a couple of... I'm not the only one. There are many. There are many who will be leading.
For
mine is more in the ceremonial field of Matariki, the honouring of Matariki and Puanga. And I look forward to embracing that and working with Pau, people in our community, hapuri, for those things to manifest.
And so Matariki, I was just looking up the dates. That's 28th of June, they say the date for this year.
Yeah, well, they're public holiday, right?
That's the
right?
Public holiday, yes. I'm just trying to give us a vague idea of how far away we are. And Puanga is...
About 7 weeks.
Hmm. And what was the saying? Puanga or Rigel? Regal in English?
Regal.
The left foot of Orion. For those of you who know your constellations
in
English.
Well, that's the Greek astrological drawings in the sky, eh?
Yeah.
Orion with the belt.
Yeah.
Tauturu. And then you've got the Sirius, which is Takurua, which is known. I think in English people know it as Akudi, but that comes from the Greek mythology.
I'm out of my depth.
Mythology.
Whichever language you choose, I'm out of my depth when it comes to constellations. But I thought other people might want to try and tie it together, so make the connection.
Yeah. Well, yeah. The Greeks did it so well. They did an extraordinary job, and many other cultures. But we're bringing Te Ao Māori forward, our indigenous understanding, and that actually becomes a waka, a great waka in the sky. But I can express that more next time I see you.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. I see you before next time, but on the radio.
Yeah, we've got plenty of time before Matariki officially arrives. Are you doing Māori language classes at the moment? I haven't asked about
that
for a while.
No, I don't. Not at this time.
Not at the moment. Okay. Yeah. I thought I'd just check in just in case.
Yeah.
All right, Ngaro Noa, thank you for coming in this morning. Good to see you.
Aye. Kia hau maru koutou.